episode, I asked Josh Turek. He's made some amazing shit on Instagram and TikTok. Like, he's, a lot of people might recognize him as the hard hat, safety hat, red hat poet. That went massively viral back in 2020, 2021. So even sent to me a few times, and I had to bookmark it. I thought, this guy knows what he's doing. This guy knows what he's saying. I even think that's when I learned how to actually bookmark something. I think it was one of the first things I've ever bookmarked. But I've always loved his style of, it's something somewhere between comedy and poetry. And it's something that we've sort of run parallel in some ways. We're kind of similar but different. We're doing our own thing, but sort of borrow from the same old timeless sort of genres of comedy and genre, and mix them comedy and poetry and mix them together in our own weird ass ways. And I love his stuff, so I gave him some, I sent him some questions, and he's answered them. And this is him answering the questions, and I'll answer the same questions at the end. So this is a bit of an extra long podcast.
Hey Darby, thank you for having me on your excellent podcast. It's an honor to be joining you here, and I'm going to answer these questions that you wrote for me. So without further ado, when I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. That didn't pan out. I hurt my arm because I threw too many curveballs when I was a kid, but my brother ended up becoming a professional baseball player. But then he quit to be a writer anyway, so, you know, we all end up in this little bowl. In this little cesspool of writing, if it's what we were born to do, no matter our abilities. So I thank my brother for proving that theorem. Did I start writing or performing or both? So I grew up in LA. I'm a failed child actor. My mom got me into it way too young. I was going on auditions for Disney series and all kinds of stuff like that. I didn't book anything significant except a George Foreman grill commercial. And so then, as you do as a failed actor, you start writing scripts. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck sort of mainstreamed that for me with Good Will Hunting. So I was like, okay, I'm going to write movies. And then I started trying to do that, and it was a lot of fun. But all the while, I was always writing poems and songs, and it just was how I expressed myself. I've always been a big reader, as you know, from doing my book podcast and the conversations we've had. And writing is just how I lay it all out and try to figure it out or remain confused. Yeah, I think I found my voice by failing at everything. That might be sort of a cliche, but it's really true. It's all those dead ends are gifts if you use them to self-explore and interrogate this existence. And humility, being humbled by life, brings you closer to life, in my opinion. And then the attitude you take your bumps and bruises with, whether it be in the marketplace or just merely physically existing, finding your voice is, I mean, to me, it's like that analogy of a sculptor starts with a big block of marble and then they chisel down to who they are. And I think all the pain and experience and pleasure and joy, that's the chisel. And that brings us to ourselves. And curiosity, I think, is number one. Are you interested in people or circumstances or just expressing something or listening? I think listening is undervalued, but super important. The first bit of mine that found a wider audience was during the pandemic. I decided to take a poetry class at a city college. It was an online course, but I had to go pick up my book at the college, and I was feeling pretty down and out that day, wandering around, and was thinking about how my mom was still trying to get me to live with her, even though I was 35 years old. So I made a quick little video of that, and it found people. And suddenly I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, people do sort of get my voice. It was on TikTok too, right when TikTok was really sort of pushing creative people out to the world before the whole pay for play and corporations got wise to it. So it was kind of just a lucky attempt, and it made me feel good. It was kind of a moment in my life where I was like, man, do I go back to school or what do I do here? And so it was kind of nice just to have my voice appreciated, even my sense of humor. My routine is always dreaming up ideas, wake up in the morning, write down my dreams if they stick. There's usually current preoccupations and you start building and exploring those. Remaining curious, reading. My routine to dream up ideas, sit down and write. Free writing has helped me a lot. I've gotten sick of so many other devices to be creative, but when you free write, even if nothing you put down is good that day, it gets the clutter out so that maybe something cool can arrive. You and I have talked about keeping your antennas out and all the rest of it, and I feel like free writing sort of helps with that. And then God bless that spark of inspiration when it just shows up and says, hey, can you do something with me? A little turn of phrase or a crooked thought or something that you've been turning over for years that finally lands on the right sort of moment to do something with it. Any new characters? I gotta start working on some characters. People like it when I do characters, I just forget. And some part of me doesn't think I'm that good at them, but I gotta get over that. So yeah, I'll work on some new characters. I think I mentioned one to you. I gotta go dig up what I wanted to do again. I'm going on tour. I'm doing a lot of that with comedy, and I want to do one about a traveling joke salesman, kind of a frumpy guy waiting at the airport, whatever. I'm going to Montana next week, which is a big piece of land without a lot of people in it in central United States, so maybe I'll do it there. Film myself in the airport like a good influencer. Yeah, the landscape where I live definitely affects it. I'm born and raised in LA, and I've stayed here like a barnacle for almost 40 years. I was just talking to my sister about this, how it is a muse. I've trodden its trails and paths so many damn times, though. I'm almost looking to try to get out of LA for a while so that I can reflect on it. Leave LA just to find more reasons to make it my muse. Definitely. The combination of normal life, showbiz, delirium, and dreamers and blue-collar workers and everyone in between, you can find anything you want in LA, but you have to go search for it, and there's going to be millions of cars between you and it. So that obstruction has definitely influenced my work. And the sunshine and the Santa Ana winds and the ocean, the big blue Pacific Ocean out here. Yeah, it absolutely has. And the sense that you feel like you're always failing in this city because it's just ultra capitalist, even though it pretends to be liberal, or maybe it is liberal, but it's certainly not progressive out here. And so, yeah, you always feel like you should be doing more in this really sort of perverse way because it's usually centered around creativity. And creativity, you don't necessarily need to do more. You just need to be more. And the rent is too high to do that, too. let's see here. Doubts about posting. Yeah, I doubt about posting all the time. I'll throw things up for 10 minutes at a time and feel it out, see what the first few comments are or aren't, and kind of take it from there. But sometimes you post something and it surprises you, and other times you think you've got a gem and people don't get it, and that's fine. Because just because your post or what you put out to the world doesn't align with it in that moment doesn't mean anything. I think it's the attempt that is most important. I think trying to bridge the gap between you and other people through creativity is a really cool way to do it. We need angles into connecting with people, especially when we're cultured in such a competitive environment, I think it takes even more creativity to connect with each other. And to me, that's a big goal in life. What would I say to someone in their 20s? Get away from your phone, turn it off, go for a walk, find people. Your 20s are to be survived. That's all you got to do, is survive them with your curiosity intact. If you can do that and remain physically healthy, life is full of a lot of, profound moments and gifts. And hopefully you're giving gifts and receiving them. And you don't let it get you too jaded. And if you do let it get you jaded, try to have a sense of humor about that. It's a lot more tolerable. Thank you, Darby. You're the man. Sorry it took so long to do this. I've just been touring, starting to do that with my comedy, and been busy and jet-lagged. So anyway, hope we talk soon, and thanks for giving me the chance to appear on your excellent podcast. All right.
When I was 8 years old, I wanted to make books. It's kind of a bit boring in a way, but we got to make little photocopied handmade books of our stories. So I wrote a dream, and made it into a little stapled and photocopied book with a little picture I drew on the front. And for me, it was amazing because I got to hold my dream is a physical object in this reality. And I thought, this is amazing. You can't believe you can hold a dream in this waking reality. It's fucking nuts. I guess I found my voice by just trying all the things that I felt attracted to in that moment. And perhaps it took me 30 years to sort of walk or write my way into it. By trying comedy in my 20s, poetry in my 30s, almost essayist kind of writing here and there that I've always loved. I love essays. It's weird. And I've sort of ended up blurring them all together by accident, and they've just turned into this whatever I'm doing now. As they say, the dog doesn't question how it wags its tail, otherwise it has no idea. Otherwise it loses it. It forgets what it's doing. It just feels like a weird natural thing to do now without questioning it too much. My routine for writing, I think I've talked about it before, but it's just sitting down to write first thing in the morning when your brain's still half in dreamland. Most of it's shit, but then I just go about my day, and that's when the ideas start happening. When I'm not looking for them, they just hit you in the side of the head just through observing the bullshit of life. It just happens, and I always feel a bit selfish, like, oh shit, I've got to stop exactly what I'm doing right now and write it down. If I'm in the middle of the supermarket, or if I'm talking to someone, or I've just got to quickly write that sentence down. I feel like I'm always half tapped into stupid writing brain, which sometimes makes me feel like I'm just wasting my life because I'm not fully present, because I selfishly pedestal this ideas thing that I have to catch the idea. Sometimes I feel like it's like, what am I doing? That's not living. That's just existing to fucking be of service to ideas. Anyway. Yeah, the landscape affects me. The times that I've been outside of Melbourne and I've come back, and not even far. The last time I went overseas was 25 years ago, but I don't have to travel. Just have to travel interstate or just to the country, and I come back into my landscape and I feel like, feels nice. I once walked across Melbourne 100 kilometres and I felt like the land moved through me rather than me moving through the land. You could feel it. It sounds a bit holy and wanky, but it's just true. It comes into us. I was listening to a podcast the other day, True Crime Shit, and about how landscape is the extra character in nearly all detective stuff, like True Detective, the Louisiana fucking swamps and shit. I really felt that. You really feel the landscape when it comes to mystery and all that sort of stuff. You feel like it's part of something, and how you can deposit ideas in geographical places and then walk back through them years later, the same space and that same idea that you had 10 years ago in that exact same place will come rushing back to you like your brain's a brain and heart are some kind of Geiger counter. Anyway, and on doubt, self-doubt, I have it all the time. It's just part of it. Like nearly everything I write, I go, ah, is this something? Is this? Will this work? Will this soothe me somehow? Sometimes I know straight away, this is fucking great. This has made me happy. And that's the best stuff. And sometimes those things don't resonate. But I have self-doubt a lot, especially posting on social media. And I use social media often just to test stuff because I'm not a true poet. Like I've said in other podcasts, I almost feel like I test my material in the same way comedians do on audiences. I love the idea of having some connection rather than being completely self-indulgent and my work only makes sense to me. So yeah, I do crave that weird connection thing anyway. And like Josh, when I found a wider audience, for me it was, I thought it would be a thrill, but it was a relief, just like Josh said. It felt like a relief, because you're just trying to communicate how you think the world's, you feel alone in your thoughts for so long. And I did for 30 years, and I had zero audience. I wrote my own stuff. Occasionally I'd have small moments of finding little cracks between the concrete for my stuff for the world to see. Like I wrote shit for Hallmark greeting cards at one point. Not Hallmark, John Sands, which is pretty much the same thing in Australia. And I'd also had some work in Best Australian Poems in 2012 and 2013, so I thought I had something. But as I've said before in other episodes, yeah, TikTok suggested, hey, Darby, why don't you write 1-minute videos and tell a story? And I thought, I can't tell a story in a minute. I've just got all these little itsy bitsy ideas that just blow out after 10 seconds. And I thought, oh, fuck it, I'm going to try and write something, string a few things together over a minute and see what happens. And that's when I found a larger audience. I thought, I started making videos. I always hated the sound of my voice. I thought I'd always be a shit performer. I can't perform for shit. And I started doing it and they resonated. And I thought, okay, well, this is what I'm going to stick to. Because I had some moderate success on Instagram just publishing my words, just the bare words and that's it, like little poems and stuff. But before that, I'd heard about TikTok just exploding in 2020. And so I thought, oh, fuck it, I made 900 videos before TikTok suggested, mate, why don't you write one that's a minute long? And so that's when it all changed. But I'd written 900 videos to almost no one seeing them. And yeah, it was weird. I always felt like I knew I had something. Like, it's weird because to write 900 videos is kind of insane and just keep doing it. But I was enjoying making them. And even though they found no one, they're all still there. And as soon as I'd worked out a way to present those ideas in a way that would find a bigger audience, I changed everything. And all those 900 videos that are still there are basically, I've had so many ideas that I was able to repurpose them. And sometimes I think, you've just got to trust yourself. Like, I still trusted myself after making 900 videos that found zero audience because I'd been doing it for 30 years anyway. Been doing it since the mid-90s. I thought 900 videos in a few years with new TikTok, I didn't care. I'll just keep doing it. But sometimes you have all the ingredients to make something that's creatively valuable, but it just needs that tiny tweak. And then it makes 100% of the difference, that tiny tweak. So I was old enough to know that I had the ingredients. And so that's why I felt like, oh, fuck it, 900 videos, just keep going. What would I say to someone in their 20s? I actually have no idea. All I know is it seems like 20s at the moment would have, if I was growing up in my 20s now, I would have struggled more than back in the 90s because Social media is such a weird, fucked up hall of mirrors. You're struggling to work out identity and who you are in the first place in your 20s, let alone have so many buffet of crazy hall of mirrors shit thrown at you. Try this. Try it all until you just fucking don't have no idea who you are, and you're even more lost by trying to label yourself with all these random different things. I almost feel like just be willfully lost and don't know who you are, and trust that things will work out and you'll find yourself. It will happen. 20s is hard. I remember my 20s sucked in some ways the most for me, but physically I was fucking, like, I could play soccer really well. Now I'm sitting on the couch with a torn Achilles. I hope it's not torn, but after trying to play soccer last night. But I'm thankful that I could sit in my head, and my head's fine. Anyway, if you'd like to leave a review for this podcast on Apple or Spotify, I'd love that. And thanks to Josh as well for giving me those questions. Check out his stuff on Instagram or TikTok. I've left a link to his stuff in the show notes of this.